لله، الحمد لله خالق الوجود من العدم، وجاعل النور من الظلم، ومخرج الصبر من الألم، فملقي التوبة على الندم. فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم، ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم ذي الشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيدي ولدي آدم، الذي بشر به عيسى ابن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم، فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم. فالحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله، أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا. فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها، وإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا، وما جعلنا القبلة التي كنت عليها إلا لنعلم من يتبع الرسول ممن ينقلب على عقبيه، وإن كانت لكبيرة إلا على الذين هدى الله، وما كان الله ليضيع إيمانكم إن الله بالناس لرؤوف رحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله، واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر، آمين يا رب العالمين. I think it's impossible to be unaware of what's going on in the world and to not be affected by the criminal acts that are taking place against Muslims at the hands of non-Muslims, and the criminal acts that are taking place against Muslims at the hands of Muslims themselves. And these tragedies are something that growing up as a Muslim, is actually become a regular part of our life. So we've seen, those of you that have come up in the last 30, 40, 50 years, the last half century or more, has just been one crisis of the Ummah after another, after another, after another. And at some point, a person experiences some sort of numbness, like they're just, oh, here we go again. And here's another one, and here's another one. And there are so many places on fire, and there's so much state of emergency, like what is happening in our beloved Palestine at the moment, that the frustration on the one hand, the helplessness and the hopelessness on the other hand, what are we even supposed to do, can become overwhelming. A lot of people ask me to speak on this, to talk about what I think about Palestine, or to talk about what I think is happening in the Ummah. And I actually remained silent for some time. I didn't say anything. And actually, this khutbah isn't going to be about that. I decided to gather my thoughts first, because my first reaction was, I have felt this before. I have seen this reaction from the Ummah before. In fact, I've seen it in a cycle, almost seasonally, right? And we have been in this exact place over and over again. So being outraged and praying for our bleeding Ummah is known. Everybody knows. Everybody feels those feelings, and everybody prays those prayers. And everybody helps and contributes to whatever humanitarian causes they can. And everybody has the outcry that they always have. Outcries against Muslim countries that are not doing enough. Outcries against the United Nations. Outcries against the United States. Outcries against the perpetrators like Israel, etc., etc., etc. We've done all of this already. And it's fine for, and I feel those sentiments. I do. But I also feel like that's not enough. I also feel like we've been doing that for quite some time. And it's deeply hurtful and frustrating that we are in the same exact place, if not worse, as time goes by. So I wanted to at least, you know, not just vent the anger and express the same emotions, but at least just try to take a step back and think about what is it that we as an ummah need to think about. You know, often my khutub talk about, and they have been over the last couple of years, have been talking about individual empowerment, how a person needs to strengthen their faith, how a person needs to rise above whatever traumatic experiences they've had. Because our religion is actually, on the one hand, highly personal. It does empower an individual. It is about your iman and your story and your life and your meeting with Allah and your connection to Allah's book and your connection to Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's your dealings and your family and your business and your finances and your zakat and your salah. It's very individual on the one hand, but on the other hand, we are also given this sense that we belong to something bigger than ourselves and just our families and our community. We belong to an ummah. We belong to something much bigger. And this thing that we belong to, this entity that we belong to, it transcends ethnicities. We may not even speak the same language. The only thing we have in common is La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that's it. That's enough. That's enough. We can be from completely different cultures, backgrounds, ethnicities, you know, and lifestyles, even like culturally. We could be completely different from each other, but there's a bond that we have that connects us together. This book of Allah connects us together, right? So there is a sense of ummah. And that's why we have a collective pain at what is happening with the Uyghur Muslims. We have a collective pain at what happened in the 90s with the Kosovans and the Bosnians. We have a collective pain. What's been happening over the last half century and more with Palestine. And what's happening in Afghanistan, and it's been happening. And what's happening in Yemen has been happening. What happened with the Rohingya Muslims? What happened to the Muslims in Sri Lanka when the riots broke out and the Buddhist extremists went to town? What's happened to Muslims in India and in Gujarat? And in Kashmir, and the list is pretty big. It's very, very big. But we as an ummah, what does it mean to be part of this ummah? And I wanted to take a step back from the fires that are burning and just kind of just turn to Allah's book and just find something at least. And I don't claim to have the answers. I will give you that disclaimer. If any one of us had the answer, we wouldn't be here where we are right now. So the assumption that somebody has the answer and will know what to do exactly is presumptuous, right? But we do have to turn to Allah for answers. We have to turn to Allah's book for at least something. This khutbah is actually about the definition of, you know, some expectations Allah has of us for being an ummah. What does it mean that He's made us into an ummah? He actually declared us one in Surah Al-Baqarah. Among other places, this is probably the most pivotal place, one of the most powerful places in the middle of Surah Al-Baqarah, the longest surah of the Quran, where He declared, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, and that is how we made you an ummah. They say, the translations often say a middle nation, or a balanced nation, wasat meaning the word balance, but actually it's a masdar. So it would mean a nation that is characterized by balance itself. It's not ummatan mutawassitatan, that would be a sifa. But the sifa here is a masdar, which is actually the hyperbolized form. Without getting too technical, it actually means you have been made into a nation that if anybody looks at you, the first thing that comes in their mind is balanced. Just let that sink in for a moment. Allah said, you and I have been made a nation that are almost like the definition of balance itself. The definition of balance itself. And balance is an important theme in the world. It's actually associated with justice. So justice systems anywhere in the world, you'll see a scale as a symbol for the courts, right? Some blind lady holding a scale, or just the scale by itself, because you can't have justice until you have balance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even refers to balance, the mizan. And He says He made the universe in balance. وَالسَّمَاءَ وَضَعَهَا So He says, you know, وَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ, you know, وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ. He elevated the skies, He raised these skies, and He placed the balance. أَلَّا تَطْغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. So you don't violate the scales, meaning you are people of balance, you're people of justice. So balancing and being balanced and being just go hand in hand. Now where does this declaration that we have been made an ummah that is in the middle placed? It's placed in Surah Al-Baqarah, which is a profound thing to ponder. Allah talked about a nation that came before us. They were given a book, just like we are a nation. We've been given a book. They were given a book and they spent many centuries with their book. And today in 2021, when we're reading that, we're now a people that were given a book and it's been many centuries, right? So we have some things in common with the people that were being talked about. They were given a book and they had a lot of centuries with it. We were given a book, we had a lot of centuries with it. Then Allah says what they did with their book is instead of using it or being empowered by it as a means of being united, they broke up and they fought each other and they killed each other. And they used their knowledge of the book as a means of declaring one supremacy over the other. You know, وَمَا تَفَرَّقُوا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. They didn't fall into disagreements except even after, especially after knowledge came, just as a way of one-upping each other. So knowledge was a way of this group refuting that one, this one refuting that one, these guys are kafir, those guys are kafir, their blood is halal, their blood is halal. This is what they used to do. This is what they did. He talks about how he gave them clear mandates of what is permissible and what is not permissible. And they played with Allah's law. They wanted to find some way of, just give me some way where I don't have to obey it and still feel good about myself. They Allah talks about this nation that when they were given this book and when someone would remind them of what the book says, they would actually declare war on them. They would declare war on them. Allah talks about their hypocrisy where they would shed each other's blood, no problem. You know, they were given this mandate because they were an ummah, right? And ummah is supposed to be like the Prophet ﷺ said, you're supposed to be one body. So he told them, لَا تَسْفِكُونَ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَلَا تُخْرِجُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ. You're not going to spill each other's blood. He told the Muslims of that time, the ones that came before us, he told them, you will not spill each other's blood. And you will not kick each other out of your homes. You will not expel each other from your homes. ثُمَّ قَرَأْتُمْ. Then all of you agreed. وَأَنْتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ. And all of you bore witness. ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Then you are the very same people that were killing each other. وَتُخْرِجُونَ فَرِيقًا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ. And you were expelling a group from among you out of their homes. تَظَاهَرُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And you were, you know, making aggressive movements towards them with animosity, meaning you, the Muslims, which was the Israelites of the time, were making aggressive moves against other Muslims, the Israelites of the time. And then on top of all of that, when they would engage in this crime, believer versus believer, when things would go really bad, and then out, you know, when Muslims fight each other, what happens? Back in the day, when the Israelites fought each other, their empire became weak and outside nations came and invaded them. And outside, because they are no longer powerful, and whenever a nation becomes weak, other forces step in, right? That's what happens. And one of the best ways to weaken a nation, Russians understand this about the United States nowadays, one of the best ways to weaken a nation is to get them to what? Fight each other, right? So when the Muslims of that time fought each other, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the ancient great powers of the time that were actually on par with the Israelite nation, then saw their weakness and started invading them. And when these kuffar came and started invading them, many of them were taken prisoner, many of them were taken captive, many of them were oppressed. And when they were oppressed, then they would have, those are your brothers, they've been oppressed by the kuffar, free them. وَإِن يَأْتُوكُمْ أُسَارَى تُفَادُوهُمْ. When they would come to you as prisoners, then you would say, give ransom for them, give relief to your brothers. Give relief to your brother. They, like in the same ayah, Allah says, you were the ones who were at each other's throats. And because of being at each other's throats, you became so weak that other nations came and devoured you. And when they started devouring you, you said, no, help your brother. But you're the one who caused the weakness to begin with. You did it. You were a powerful ummah. Allah was with you. فَضَّلْنَاكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah reminds the Israelites, we had given you preference over all other nations of the world. Allah said about them, you know what He said about them? They would have had stability and governance and prosperity in this world, not just Akhirah. As a nation, you know, an individual, a person can go through difficulty as a believer, right? In this life, you can be the best believer and have a very difficult life. That's absolutely true of even the prophets, yes? But the formula Allah has for nations is different. The formula for individuals is something else. The formula in the Quran for nations is different. Allah says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ أَقَامُوا التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ لَأَكَلُوا مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ وَمِنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِهِمْ. Had they lived by the Torah and the Injil, had they established the Torah and the Injil, had they applied the book of Allah given to them, they would have eaten from above and from below. The rizq would have been flooded open. Allah's protections and His blessings would have flooded them. What is Allah saying? The reason they went into suffering is they abandoned the book of Allah. And what was the suffering? In stages, as Allah describes in Surah Al-Baqarah, before He tells us we are the balanced nation, they lost balance. First, they fought each other. They fought each other enough that they became weak and pathetic. And when they became weak and pathetic enough, they became, you know, fodder. They become easy kill for their enemies. And then some of you felt bad for them. This is not our history. This is the history of Bani Israel, who Allah says He gave the honor of being an ummah and the preferred people, and they ruined it. And they are no longer in that position. And Allah has now decided that He should test, not just honor you and me, test us with the same exact position. Now, why do you think half of this surah is describing their failures? And then He says, we have thus made you a nation characterized by balance. That's because don't mess up like they did. Don't do what they did. Because وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. You will not find a change in the way Allah does things. You will not. Allah's formula is the same. Allah's formula is the same. Allah has created a sunnah in the world. When you put a seed in the ground, and when you put water on it, you give it good soil, you allow it to have sun, a plant will grow. That's the sunnah of Allah. The soil did not grow the plant. The water did not grow the plant. The sun did not grow the plant. But if you follow that process, then the sunnah of Allah is He will allow the plant to grow. When you don't give it water, when you don't provide it proper seed, the plant will die. That is also the sunnah of Allah. This is how Allah does things in this world. That's the sunnah of growing a plant. But the sunnah of Allah, of the rise and the fall and the strength and the weakness of believing nations, is also there. And you and I can't possibly think we are an exception, and what happened to the people before us, that's not going to happen to us because we're special. Because we're special. What I'm saying in no way alleviates the tragedies of those that are suffering in the moment. And in no way does it condemn them that Allah is putting those people in trial because they became like the Israel. Don't be ignorant in what I'm saying to you. We as an ummah, our behavior, our characterization, the way we act, the way we are, the way we look to ourselves. If you look, take a good look in the mirror, you know, not just at yourself, as us as a people, and take a good look at what Allah criticized of the Israelites. What did He criticize about them that made them not be the chosen people? What did He criticize about them? It would be very difficult for you to take an honest look and me to take an honest look and not see the exact similarities. It would be very difficult. This is an extremely big challenge. So when He says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, what did He go on to say? لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, so that you can be witnesses over all of humanity. This is what a nation of balance looks like. They don't play with Allah's book. They are characterized by justice. They are unified people. They have an undying love for each other, not just when people are bleeding. Not just when people are bleeding, because that's hypocritical. That is hypocritical. Oh, our brothers are bleeding in Palestine. Oh yeah? Because when you're at a masjid, and you're from Bangladesh, and somebody else is from Malaysia, and somebody else is from China, and somebody else is from Senegal, and when somebody else is from Palestine, and somebody else is from Saudi, and somebody else is from Pakistan, and somebody else is from India, you're fighting over who the imam should be. Where's the love of the ummah then? Your nationalism doesn't come out in everything else? Your biases towards each other don't come out in anything else? But the moment إِيَّأْتُكُمُ سَارَ تُفَادُوهُمْ, the moment someone's in tragedy, all of a sudden we're one ummah. How are we one ummah in anything else? this, you know, it's hard to hear. It's hard for me to say because I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. When the Prophet ﷺ says that we are one body, that this is kajasa, this ummah is like one body, then me criticizing what the ummah is doing is me criticizing, it's like me criticizing my hand or my arm or my leg. It's still me. It's not someone else. It's not someone else's fault. So we need to first, this is an important realization because as frustrating as this conversation is, you and I have to realize that this problem isn't some other people. It's not someone else. It's not their problem. If those Muslims became better, we would all be better. No, stop saying those and them and they. It's us. It's our problem. You know, when there's a problem in your family, then you don't say, it's not none of my business. That's their problem. That's my dad's problem. That's my brother's problem. No, it's your problem too. You live in the same household, bro. The same household. This ummah is one household. It's even more than one household. It's like one person. So I have to be concerned. If my hand is in pain, or if my hand is not doing, it's being paralyzed. You know, it's not doing what it's supposed to do. Then I'm not going to say, stupid hand, how could you do that? You know what? I wish you weren't even a part of me. And you start chopping it off. That's not how that works, is it? You'll do anything you can to fix your hand. You'll do anything you can to identify where's the pain coming from. What medication do I need to take? How do I fix this problem? This is the and sometimes the problem may not be the solution may not be overnight. The solution may be a little bit more long term. The only the analogy that comes in my mind, the reason I remain silent, the analogy that comes in my mind is if a person is sick. They're sick. And there's, you know, chronological illness, the sickness that goes on for a long time, right? So they have a chronological illness and they don't take care of it. They cough, they're getting weaker, but they're not taking any medication. They're just continuing to eat what they eat. They're practicing the way they practice, and their body's getting worse and worse and worse until one day it flares up and something in their body goes wrong and they have to end up in the hospital, right? Because now the pain is so extreme that the entire body is just paralyzed. And then they go to the hospital, they do some surgery or they patch it up or something they can do to minimize the pain, and the person goes back to the same sleep again, the same behavior again. You can't expect, and this is what we do, when flare-ups happen in this ummah, all of a sudden we act like we're one ummah. And these sentiments grow. But long term, you cannot, you know, in the immediate sense, I pray that Allah gives relief to the Muslims. I pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives, you know, like some sense of sabr and of healing to those that have lost children. They've lost parents. When you think about somebody, you know, bombings happening, or when I thought about those girls that were killed in Afghanistan, when I was just thinking about them, I'm a father, I have girls. How speechless would I be? Would I even be able to speak if that happened? And if I really truly feel that pain, then what am I supposed to do with it? There's supposed to be something we do, not just as an individual. We have to figure out how to restore our place as an ummah again. That has to happen. And that's it's not a shallow conversation. It's a serious conversation. Every one of the young men and women that are listening to me, whether you're listening online or you're here in front of me, if we don't realize that Allah did not put you and me on this earth and make us a Muslim just so we can eat halal food and give each other hugs on Eid and life will go on as normal, then we haven't realized what it means to be. It may be you know what it means to be a Muslim individually, but you have no clue what it means to be part of an ummah. To be a part of an ummah, there is something bigger than me that I have to be concerned with. Something has to be there. Some concern has to be there. And it needs to translate it to some kind of concrete course of action. I don't say that I have the answers. I started by saying that in the beginning. But at the very least, we need to have that deep, deep concern and move beyond the shallow. Move beyond just feeling better about ourselves. Move beyond just venting. We've been venting a long time. We've been doing that a long time. This is an ummah that is, its history is of people that made changes in the world, isn't it? Allah describes that we, you know, wasat, by the way, I told you it's about balance and justice and fairness. It's actually in everything you find in the world, problems happen with extremism. When the wealthy become extremely wealthy, there's a problem in that country. When the poor become extremely poor, there's a problem in that country. When the government becomes extremely authoritarian, there's a problem in that country. When the people become extremely anarchist, there's a problem in that country. When you have too much control, there's a problem. When you have too much freedom, there's a problem. There's everywhere you go, there's an imbalance. There's an imbalance. In family life, there's an imbalance. In individual life, there's an imbalance. In governmental life, there's imbalance everywhere around us. And Allah says, and Allah made this nation a nation that is characterized by balance itself. And the sad tragedy is, when Allah said that, لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ, so that you can be witnesses over humanity, so that when humanity is looking for, where do we find balance? Is this just a hypothetical, theoretical thing? Human beings can never have balance? No, they have this ummah to look at. And when they look at this ummah, they, oh, this is what balance is supposed to be. This is what justice looks like. This is what harmony looks like. This is what purpose looks like. Is that really what we look like right now? Is that, you know, should we feel good about reading this ayah? We made you into an ummah that's balanced. And we look at ourselves and say, Alhamdulillah, we have a lot of wasat. We are, no, we're not. And on top of that, he put a burden on us so people can be witness against us. So we can be witness against people, and the messenger can be witness against us. This is the scary part of this ayah. That's what I'm going to leave you with. Shahada ala nas. You know, and then shahadatul Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We were supposed to show humanity this balance because Allah made us in charge of doing that as an ummah. As an ummah. And when we were supposed to do that because on judgment day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will testify that he left this ummah in a balanced way. He gave them this mandate and they understood it. And they were supposed to show that to the rest of the world. So on judgment day, humanity will testify, if we didn't do our job and we never showed the world what balance looks like, then humanity gets to testify against us. Why would we be attracted to Islam? They'll say. Why would we ever think anything good of this prophet, this book? Have you seen these people? This is what they were like. This is what their countries were like. They were some of the most corrupt in the world. They were some of the most, you know, they're some of the most grimy scum business people to work with. The only time I ever got cheated was by a Muslim. The only people that ever lied, you know, were the Muslims. This is supposed to be about, why would I ever be attracted to their religion? Why would I be attracted to that? Why would I want anything to do with it? I saw them to be some of the most bigoted people, some of the most racist people, some of the most judgmental people, some of the most ruthless people, and they're always fighting each other. This is what I should have. Humanity, not individuals, humanity can testify against us as a people. And Rasulullah has a case against us because he left us to continue his mission. He showed the world Ummatan Wasata in Medina. He showed it. He showed it when he conquered Mecca. That's what it looks like. And we are carrying that forward. Ramadan is actually, in my detailed durus on Ramadan, I said Ramadan was supposed to be a celebration of us being a different nation. We are now the Ummatan Wasata. The Jews used to fast on different days. And we used to fast on, the Rasul used to fast on the same days as them. And then Allah revealed Ramadan to commemorate that you are a separate people now. You're a separate nation now. So everything in Surah Al-Baqarah points to us becoming a new nation. You're going to fast on different days. You have the new word of Allah, the final word of Allah with you. And your Qibla is different. Right? Our capital is different. Our spiritual capital changed. Everything about the surah was actually about us being put together as a new nation, a nation of balance. That's what we were supposed to be. This sense of burden needs to translate into something that Allah would be pleased with. This sense of purpose. And every one of us, there's no, I would argue, when the ummah is imbalanced, there's no individual exempt from this sense of purpose. Nobody. Every one of us has something to contribute towards this. And if we're not capable of influencing anyone except our own households, then I better raise my children to be contributors towards this, towards that goal of becoming the ummah that we're supposed to become, to raising that kind of a child. When we can get a little, you know, we can free ourselves a little from raising kids whose only purpose is to get a job and to make the family proud with the new car they bought. And that's all, that's, we're raising our kids to throw fancy weddings. That's it. That's, there's nothing else higher to look forward to. How, what, put a sense of mission into our children. They're not just carrying your last name. That's every other nation. They carry the last name forward. Our children, our generations, they have to carry the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have to carry the sense of one ummah. It's a big thing to pass over. And we have to reinvestigate in ourselves. Where did we drop the ball? And did we become like the Israelites that came before us? And are we finding ourselves in the same trials that Allah described they found themselves in? And don't take my word for it. Study the surah yourself. Study it with an open heart. Why would Allah talk about them? Not so we can curse the Israelites. Sahaba used to say, Nazalat fihim ibratan lana. He revealed it about them. He's talking about us. That's what the Sahaba used to say. It was revealed about them as a lesson for us, so we don't become like them. And even though Quran makes it explicitly clear, at the very end of this surah, we make a dua to Allah and we say, رَبَّنَا لَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. Don't put a burden on us like you placed on the ones that came before us. In other words, we understand we are carrying something that was given before us too. And we hope we don't drop the ball. We don't mess up like they messed up. I genuinely pray that our ummah is able to wake up in the way that Allah would want them to wake up, that we're able to restore our place as a dignified ummah that stands first and foremost for the sake of Allah. First and foremost, so we can be worthy of the testimony of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then as a result of that, we will be the kind of people, we will become the, and we are capable of it. I don't say that, oh, it's only going to get worse from here. I don't believe that. We are absolutely capable of it. The ummah has a lot of blessings in it, a lot of potential in it. I'm a huge believer in what just one generation can do. What one generation, we can transform the world in one generation. It's not impossible. And we can do so across the world, not just in one place, across the world. It is possible. And you have to believe that. And if we cannot make a change and we can only do patch the bleeding wounds here and there, right now, well, we've got to do what we got to do, but we better have a long-term generational strategy. We can't just think about next month and next year. We got to start thinking 100 years from now. We got to start thinking 50 at least years from now, 100 years from now, where are we going to be as an ummah? And how are we working towards that goal? If you don't have that long-term vision, if you don't have that purpose, then we're never even going to begin. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us a people of vision, a people of purpose. May Allah Azza wa Jal remove our disagreements from within each other. May Allah Azza wa Jal make our disagreements that will always be there insignificant. And make the love of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the loyalty to Allah and His Book so much more powerful that we're able to ignore our differences and still find common cause among ourselves. That we're able to find real love and care and unity within the hearts of the ummah, so that we can become the kind of ummah that Rasulullah ﷺ can testify in the favor of on Judgment Day. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, khususan ala afdalihim wa khatamin nabiyyin Muhammadin al-Amin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Qala Allahu 'azza wa jalla fi kitabihi al-Karim ba'da an aqula a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.